I'm going to get as close as I can to you. That's about as close as I can get from up here. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about being in the hands of God. So if you turn to John chapter 6 in your Bibles, John chapter 6, we're going to read through the first 15 verses, and then we'll take a look at what it has, the lessons it has for us today. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. So Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked, "Philip, where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have just a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed to them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This really is the prophet who was come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus knew that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not come to them. Then a high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat was on the shore where they were heading. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at these words, we just ask that you would help us to understand, what does that mean to us? What was the apostle trying to tell us that we could apply to our lives, that we would know that we are in the hands of God? Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be here and active today and just helping us to understand what he had John write, so that we, Lord, can be closer to you than ever before. It's all about you, Jesus, and we just want to know about you and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee for Tiberias, and a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick." One of the first things, the first lesson I think that we see right off the bat is people were coming to Jesus. And I want you to stop and think about this. I'm excited about Olive Grove Church because I think great things are about to happen. When I start to see people and elders and other people who are coming together to put Jesus first, Jesus begins to do things. And when Jesus begins to do things, people will come. I had the fortune of this past week sitting down with three other gentlemen who were just on fire for the Lord. And everything that they said, the first thing, there was a qualifier with everything they said. They said, "Where do we see Jesus in that?" And I see what's happening in this church is we're starting to ask that question, where do we see Jesus in things that we are doing? So what I'm going to tell you this morning is get ready. Get ready, because people are going to start coming to this church and filling this place up. And I'm going to tell the elders today, you know what? You better get busy, because you're going to have traffic control out there in front. You're going to have more parking places, because we have very few. Because God's going to fill this place. as we draw closer to his son, Jesus Christ. There are so many good ministries here, and I challenge every ministry head. I said, this one challenge. Whatever ministry you're doing, whether it's with the youth or adults or whoever it is, ask this question: how does my ministry show Jesus Christ? How does my ministry hold up Jesus Christ so that everyone can see? There are so many opportunities to get involved, so many ways that we can be a part of the growth of this church if we have that one key element in our mindset. How does it affect Jesus Christ? How will others ever see Jesus Christ in this church? You know, one of the things that, as a pastor, I get a lot of mail from growth groups and from others, and it always starts out, how to grow your church. If you want to grow your church, do this. Well, I happened to get one this past week, and it was from a big church you all know, from down in Orange County. If I said the name, you'd know it. You'd know exactly who it is. But sent me this thing, and it says, if you want to grow your church, here's what you need to do. And it listed some things. It says, warmer through fellowship, deeper through discipleship, stronger through worship, broader through ministry, larger through evangelism. And now, you know, those are all good things, but isn't there something missing here? Where is it drawing closer to Jesus? To me, that should be the first thing. All these other things don't mean anything if we don't draw closer to Jesus through all of them. And so the very first thing we need to do is just draw closer to Jesus. The second thing I think we see, the lesson that we have, is in verse 5. It says, therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, where do we buy bread so these people can eat? I think the second thing we see is God cares. You know, as we come to church, we should feel his presence in our life. We should know that he cares. He cares that you're here. He cares about you. He wants to love you and be with you. God so loves his creatures. Immediately, it says, Jesus turned to caring for the people. You know, that's what God does for all of us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Isn't that an amazing thing? To understand that God cares about me. So why do I get so upset? Why do I get so worried? You know, because just like the disciples, sometimes I don't get it. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here that he's involved. He knows what's going on. He has a plan. But sometimes we don't get it. And if there's nothing else that we learn, we should learn this one thing. God cares for you. And you can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Here we see Jesus has been healing the sick, which really was a prediction of the greater healing he was about to do in healing their spirit. Jesus said in chapter 12, verse 47, he came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus' main purpose on this earth was to save us all. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That was why Jesus came. And I'm glad he fulfilled his duty to us and died on the cross and was raised again by God so that we would have eternal life. The third thing we see is in verse 3. So Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Verse 3, I think, teaches us that Jesus prays. What an example for the rest of us. Prayer is so important. I'm not sure, maybe some of you do, but I'm one that doesn't do it enough. I don't pray enough. We need to take more time to sit down and talk to God and talk to our Savior. I'll tell you, this past week has been kind of a tough one. for me and for a lot of people that I know up in Phelan. Several people that I know and some good friends up there lost everything they had. And they're going to need to be in our prayers. We need to uphold those people. Another, what was the name of the couple? Who told me about that? Didn't you, Rhonda, about the guy that fell and... What was his name?
Dale.
He fell off a high ladder and was killed. Now his family is without a husband and father. We need to lift that family up. Lift the families up who lost all they had in I know some people who lost not only their houses but their animals, everything they lost up there. But you know, God cares for them too. And so we need to lift those people up and pray for them. Pray for our church. And so on Wednesday nights, beginning on January 7th, we're going to come right here, and for 45 minutes, we're going to join together and just pray. Can you imagine what God can do with this church if we join together in prayer? That's what God wants. He wants us to talk to Him. Jesus Himself would often go up on the mountainside to sit down and pray to His Heavenly Father, to His Father. Shouldn't we do the same? What a great example that Jesus gives us. Prayer is so important. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Think about what that's saying. Don't worry about anything. Boy, that's a tough one. That's tough for me. Don't worry about anything. I'm doing really good as long as everything's going fine, but the minute one thing happens, that old worry starts to creep in. But the Bible tells me don't do that. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, no matter what you're going through, everything that you're experiencing right now, and everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Why would you make your request be made known to God? Because God cares. And He wants to hear from you. You're His children. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. We need to take advantage of opportunities to pray, both individually and collectively. I know the ladies have a tremendous prayer group on Friday mornings over here in the office from about 9 to 10 o'clock. Every Friday they're there and praying. And I happened to sit in on one of them one time, and I'll tell you what, there are some strong prayer warriors in that group. We could take an example from them. Not to worry, but to pray. Take advantage of the Wednesday night prayer time that's coming up. We have not begun to see what God can do for this church when we begin to pray. When we begin to involve Him in what's going on in this church. That's the key to hold the whole thing is, we've walked into the presence of the Almighty God who wants us to talk to Him. Let's ask Him. Let's invite Him in. Let's help Him do what we need to do in this church. Let's let Jesus be the focal point of everything we do and watch how He makes it grow. Well, the fourth thing I think we see is in verses 5 through 10. Verse 5 says, "Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward Him, He asked Philip, 'Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?' He asked this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of these of them to have a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, 'There's a boy here with has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are they for so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.'" Have you ever noticed Jesus is always one step ahead of us? Isn't that a good thing? Because Jesus always waited for us. We would never get anywhere, would we? Jesus is always one step ahead. And so here are these it says 5,000 men. Now you got to remember that only the men were counted back in Jesus' day. There was women and children there too. So there's likely way over 10,000 people here, as versus just the 5,000. And so Jesus looks out on the crowd and he looks to his disciples and said, "What are we going to do for them? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. We need to have something for them to eat." And disciples had no idea. In Mark, Jesus tells them, "You feed them." In Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 37, this is the way Mark put it. He says, "Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat.' But Jesus said, 'You feed them.' 'With what?' they asked. 'We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people.'" Before we get too hard on the disciples, I think we need to focus on this one thing. Jesus said, "You feed them." And I believe that's one of the things that in our church that we need to be doing is we need to feed the people, not only here, but we need to begin feeding the people in our community with the Word of God and with Jesus. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, "You feed them," because he already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to test them. Where is your faith, is basically what he's saying. Is your faith in me or the material things? They didn't have a Costco to go to. They didn't have a big Walmart to go to. They were out in the wilderness. And Jesus asked them a very simple question. Actually, he gives them a directive. He says, "You go feed them." And I would wonder if he would say that to us today. If he was right here in our midst today, if he were standing right here today and he said to you, "You guys at Olive Grove Church, I want you to go feed the people of Nuevo. Feed the people of Hemet. God knows we need it. God," he would say, You feed the people in Paris." What would be our response? I think maybe like the disciples, we would say, "But where are we going to get the money? How are we going to go feed those people? How can we, we're just a little group of people, how can we feed so many people?" But see, Jesus is talking about more than just food. He's talking about telling them about his son, Jesus Christ. There are so many people out there that don't know Jesus. And there are so many people out there that if they don't hear about Jesus, they're going to go to hell. Isn't it our responsibility to do as much as we can to tell people about Jesus? Isn't it our responsibility to be so focused on Jesus and this church that people are drawn to this church because they see Jesus here? You see, it's not about money. It's about holding up Jesus. The disciples didn't get it. They couldn't figure out a way to feed them, but Jesus had a plan. He would do it. So in verse 10, again it says, I lost my place. In verse 10 it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus began to multiply the fish, but the men began to use what was provided." And I think that's a tremendous lesson for us too, is to begin to use what God provides for us. Are we doing that? Are we doing that effectively? Are we using what God has given us effectively to reach the world that is lost? Or are we letting some of it go? God provides. We are to use what he provides. When Jesus provides, we should make the most of it, whatever it is. Often, we don't know how God is going to provide or exactly what he's going to provide, but the key is to stay focused on Jesus. I want you to... God has provided so much for Olive Grove Church. We have a beautiful annex across the street that can be used for so many wonderful things. You have a beautiful church. You have an office building. God has provided so much for Olive Grove Church. Are we using it effectively? Are we using what God has provided to reach those who are lost? Well, the sixth thing I think that we learn is that in verse 11, well, actually, in verse 11 and 12 that we just read, he told his disciples, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When we begin to do things according to the Jesus way, people begin to get fed. When our focus is on Jesus, people will be fed. So often I hear people in church say, you know what, I'm just not getting fed. So I begin to ask myself, well, why aren't they getting fed? Is it that they're not hearing what's being said? Or is it they're not seeing Jesus in the church? You see, I think if you come to church and you don't feel Jesus, if you don't feel like you've walked into the presence of the Almighty God, you may be not getting fed. So I think we have to be so careful that when you walk in here, you can feel the presence of the Almighty God. I believe that when you walk out of here, you should say to yourself, you know what? I just was sat in the presence of the God of the universe. The God who created me and everything that's in it. I felt him today. You see, that's what it's all about. Can you honestly say today that you felt Jesus in your life, that you saw Jesus in your mind, that you felt the Almighty God, that you walked into a place where you knew God dwelt and was doing things? You see, when Jesus acted, people were fed. When we stay focused on Jesus and not ourselves, people get fed. When everything that we do is focused on Jesus, when our worship team sings, are they singing because they have that love for God and that love for Jesus and they're there to bring glory to him? When we come to worship, is our focus on Jesus and not ourselves? You know, I know we all come in with problems. We all come in that we maybe had a bad week, but you know what? We should leave those things outside. When you walk up those steps, drop off those troubles. Just let them fall down and walk in and say, I'm going to just focus on Jesus today. Because that's where my hope comes from. And when the worship team sings, let them envelop you into worshiping God. Focusing on Jesus. And knowing that you're sitting in the presence of an almighty power that cares about you. In verses 12 through 15, it says, so they collected all that was left over. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who were eaten. I think the next lesson we learn is, after people are fed, there was more for others. You see, they collected 12 basketfuls. Now, I know Jesus wasn't just going to take those to the dump. He had a plan for those. He was going to stake those out and spread them to others who hadn't eaten. He was going to use that. So what we need to do is, when we have been fed, we need to feed others. If you felt the love of God in your life, you need to share that with others. Don't let it go to waste. God wants you to share all about him to those who don't know him. I've shared with you before that how often you've come across somebody that God puts in your path that he wants you to talk about his son. Have you noticed anybody lately that God may have put in your path that you just knew you need to tell him about Jesus? But how many of us are afraid when that time comes? How many of us miss that opportunity? We've been fed, but we hold it close to ourselves and we don't feed others. Jesus wants us to feed others. Jesus wants us to lift others up and let them feel the love of God. There was always more for others, is what Jesus was saying. There's always more for others. We are not to waste what God provides. We are not to hoard what God provides us. But the last thing I think that I want you to see today from this is that Jesus sees us when we are in trouble. Look at the last few verses. Verses 16 through 21, which are very important. When Jesus came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. Then a high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading. Jesus saw his disciples when they were in trouble. Jesus sees us when we're in trouble. God always knows when we are in trouble. Have you ever stopped to think about that? When you're in trouble, you may think you're out there by yourself. But God knows when you're in trouble. I want to share the way Mark put this, because he got a little more, he expanded on it a little bit more, and I think it makes some sense to us. Mark chapter 6, 48, verses 48 through 52. Mark says, "He saw them being battered as they rowed because the wind was against them." Jesus is still up on the shore. It's night. They're 3 miles out to the lake. You and I couldn't have seen them out there. Only Jesus saw them out there, and they were being battered by the wind, which means that little boat they were in was being tossed around by the wind. And the disciples were afraid, but Jesus saw them. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass them by. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." What a wonderful picture. In the midst of our trouble, Jesus comes to us and said, "Don't be afraid. It's I." Isn't that comforting to know that Jesus Christ himself comes to us in our time of trouble? And maybe we don't hear him say it, but if you have faith in him and who he is, you will know it. He comes to you and says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." Then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded. And listen to this, because they had not understood about the loaves, instead their hearts were hardened. You see, that's the reason so often we miss what Jesus has for us and what he does for us, is because our hearts are hardened by everything that's going on around us. And we're not willing to let him come in and care for us. The disciples were so focused on what was going on around them and the bread and the making of the bread and the passing of the bread that they didn't realize this is the Savior of the world. So often in our lives, I think we get so bound up with all the things that are going on around us and all the troubles that are going around us, we stop and our hearts become hardened and we miss the fact that Jesus comes alongside us and said, Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I want to challenge you today to just remember those things. If you don't remember anything else about what we've talked about today, just remember this one thing. In the midst of the storms that you're going through in your life, in the midst of those troubled seas, remember this. Jesus come alongside and says, don't be afraid. It's I. I am here with you. What a tremendous thought to know that God, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, will come alongside us and lift us up in our time of trouble. Isn't that comforting to know? So if we know that, we believe that, I believe it behooves us to go and tell others. When Jesus is the focus of this church and your lives, others will come to see what Jesus is doing. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much that we've had this time to share your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will just use this time to just open our hearts to accept you in and to allow you, Lord, to be the Lord of our life. To just be here with us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.